What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Germany agrees to send tanks to Ukraine. Plus, what trends in temp and remote work signal about the job market, and investors pour into money market funds.
After several increases in interest rates, money market rates have gone up as well, so you can actually get a reasonably decent yield on these instruments, which you couldn't get before.
It's Wednesday, January 25th. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Germany will send 14 modern Leopard tanks to Ukraine as part of a coordinated ramping up of Western support for Kyiv, a government spokesman said Wednesday, ending weeks of debate among allies over whether to send the weapons. In addition to pledging German tanks, Berlin said that other countries would provide German-made tanks out of their own stocks. Journal Germany correspondent Bojan Panchevsky has the latest.
This decision basically follows a week or so of intense diplomacy between Mr. Scholz and Mr. Biden and their aides, because Germany essentially said about a week ago, and they told the Americans that they would only send German tanks and authorize the sending of German tanks if America would agree to send its Abrams M1 tank as well. And we've been hearing from American officials that they will authorized the shipment of about up to 50 Abrams M1 tanks. So that deal has been made, and it's imminently expected that Washington will announce a similar move and that it will kind of release its Abrams tanks for Ukraine.
Bojan, what difference would all of these moves taken together potentially mean for Ukraine?
Well, basically, officials and experts have warned against seeing these modern tanks as a silver bullet in the war. Having said that, it will be a significant boost for the Ukrainian armed forces. Essentially, there will be well over 100 tanks, perhaps even 200 modern Western tanks that are vastly superior to the models currently used by Russia. These are all Soviet-era tanks. Some of them are decades old, sort of very outdated. So these modern, fast, powerful machines that are now going to hit the battlefield will definitely help the Ukrainians fend off a potential Russian offensive and launch an offensive of their own in a bid to liberate more territory that's been occupied by Moscow.
That was Wall Street Journal Germany correspondent Bojan Panchevsky. Turning to Washington, Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia says he'll introduce legislation today to delay an electric vehicle tax credit program that was a component of last year's Inflation Reduction Act. The tax credits of up to $7,500 per vehicle have come under fire from European and Asian allies who say they're unfair to foreign manufacturers. Manchin has been in disagreement with the Treasury Department over how to implement the program. However, his bill faces an uphill battle given the strong support for the Inflation Reduction Act among Democratic lawmakers. Rupert Murdoch has withdrawn a proposal to merge two parts of his media empire, Fox Corp and News Corp, saying the transaction is not optimal for shareholders of the companies at this time. The boards of the two companies received letters from Murdoch withdrawing the proposal, according to company statements on Tuesday. Murdoch proposed reuniting News Corp and Fox last fall, nearly a decade after they had split apart, but some large investors were skeptical of the proposed transaction. News Corp is the parent company of Dow Jones, the publisher of the Wall Street Journal, as well as other assets, including HarperCollins Publishers and news organizations in the UK and Australia. Tesla says it is planning to spend more than $3.6 billion to expand its Reno, Nevada factory, where it assembles batteries and produces EV components, an investment that would employ 3,000 additional workers. Tesla said in a blog post Tuesday that one of the factories would produce its semi-trailer truck, while the other would make passenger vehicle batteries. Tesla is expected to post its fourth quarter earnings today. And it is far from the only company set to post earnings, with additional quarterly updates due from the likes of Boeing, Abbott Laboratories, and AT&T. The Bank of Canada is also expected to announce its latest interest rate decision this afternoon. Investors are dashing for cash. Over the first 4 weeks of the year, money market funds have recorded massive inflows. And here to break down what that could signal is Journal Deputy Europe Finance Editor Quentin Webb. Hey, Quentin.
Hi, good morning.
So crunch the numbers for us. What kind of investor activity are we seeing into these money market funds?
Well, so just to recap, money market funds are a form of mutual fund, and what they do is they invest in short-term debt securities. So think of treasury bills and also some highly rated commercial paper. Companies and individuals buy money market funds, and they can use them as effectively a bit like a checking account, a way to store ready cash. And what we've seen recently is a huge surge of money pouring into money market funds. So if you look at the four-week period ending January 18, for example, this is according to EPFR data, there was about $135 billion of inflows into these funds. And that is the highest such period of inflows since May 2020, when, of course, markets were convulsing. This was early on in the COVID pandemic.
What might those inflows signal?
Well, so there's a couple of ways to read this. One way to read this is just it is a signal again of this increased investor caution. Of course, we've had this period last year when stocks and bonds both sold off dramatically. This year, we've seen a bit more of a rebound in the stock market, but investors are kind of questioning how durable that is, trying to weigh up the future direction of Federal Reserve policy and the economic trajectory in the US. And then there's a second simple explanation too, which is that after several increases in interest rates, money market rates have gone up as well. So you can actually get a reasonably decent yield on these instruments, which you couldn't get before when, to a first approximation, yields were near zero.
That was Wall Street Journal Deputy Europe Finance Editor Quentin Webb. Quentin, thanks as always.
Thanks so much.
Coming up, we'll look at what changes in temp worker employment and a reduction in remote work opportunities could tell us about the state of the labor market. That story after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
From high-profile layoffs to workers spending longer looking for jobs or businesses reducing flexible working arrangements, it is easy to spot signs of shifting power dynamics within the labor market now. Journal reporters Sarah Cheney Cambon and Ray Smith have been tracking the latest workplace trends, and Sarah and Ray are with us now to share their findings. Sarah, Ray, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Sarah, I'll start with you. It has already been a pretty tumultuous year in the labor market, and you've been looking at trends in temporary worker employment numbers. Why are we looking at that in the first place, and what are you seeing?
We're seeing that companies are actually shedding temporary workers. Employers cut about 110,000 temp workers in the last 5 months of 2022. And I'm looking at it because economists often consider temp employment to be a leading indicator of shifts in the labor market. And that's because it's really easy for employers to bring temp workers on board, and it's also easy for them to dismiss temp workers. And we actually saw several months before the 2001 and 2007 recessions that temp employment declined. There are some caveats. A decline in temp employment does not guarantee a recession by any means. We've seen previous periods where temp employment declined, but the economy continued to grow just at a slower pace. And one other theory was that temp workers are actually landing permanent jobs at elevated rates.
Ray, your recent reporting has also been looking into signs of a potentially cooling labor market, and specifically how it relates to the flexibility that employers are willing to offer their current employees and future hires. Take us into what you found.
Well, we found that the share of remote jobs posted is decreasing even while demand remains high. We got some data from LinkedIn that showed that remote jobs made up 13.2% of postings on LinkedIn last month, down from 20.6% in March. And other job sites have reported similar declines in remote listings. So we're basically seeing, you know, employers don't feel like they need to lure talent with the promise of working from home anymore.
Ray, from your reporting, are there any companies in particular that you might highlight in terms of the shifts as it pertains to their current workers or their hiring practices?
One that stood out to us was Disney. They already had a hybrid arrangement, but they've been asking workers to come in 4 days a week, up from 2 or 3 days a week. And I talked with a company called Ally Financial for my story. They were sort of asking employees to come in more often to the office, but after Labor Day, they started expecting people to come in. And they're saying that some roles will be fully in office or hybrid, but there's less of that sort of option of staying home and working remotely. And they're planning to say that with these new jobs that we're going to be hiring people for, some of them are going to be fully in office. And we realize that some people may not want to apply after seeing that. But their argument is that our culture sort of demands collaboration in some cases, and we need people to be fully in office. So they're changing some policies in terms of expecting rather than just merely asking.
What sort of broader labor market dynamics would you say that those trends speak to?
You know, it's funny because it's really about this power dynamic and this power struggle basically between employers and employees. And this marks the latest shift in that power dynamic between them. We are probably looking at a scenario where the idea of the fully remote job really is a thing of the past for more companies, I should say.
Sarah, we've now talked here about two somewhat narrower elements of the labor market, temp jobs, remote jobs. Are those reflective of the larger labor market trends that you're seeing?
I think both the trends in temp jobs and remote jobs align with sort of the broader signs of job market slowdown that we've been seeing for several months now. Workers are taking longer in some cases to find jobs. They're staying on unemployment benefits for longer periods of time than they were a year or so ago. We've also seen that employers have been cutting back hours. And while that could be sort of a normalization after just a surge in demand in 2021, through some of 2022, it could also reflect that employers are getting cautious and deciding to cut their workers' hours as opposed to lay them off at this point. I think the big question now for the labor market is whether all of these signs are sort of pointing towards a slowdown from an extraordinary pace that we saw earlier in the pandemic as the job market recovered. So whether it's a slowdown to more of a 2019 type labor market, or if we're heading for a deeper downturn. And I think we'll have a little more clarity on that in the coming months.
That was Wall Street Journal economics reporter Sarah Cheney Cambon. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks so much for having us, Luke.
And Journal Careers and Leadership reporter Ray Smith. Thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, forget Google Maps. Paper map sales are booming. The National Mapping Agency of Great Britain, the Ordnance Survey, has been tracking explosive growth in the sales of custom-made maps since 2020, while in the United States, AAA says it produced 123% more maps in 2022 than it did in 2021. WSJ contributor Kate Morgan looked into why so many people are turning to physical maps when most of us have efficient digital maps at our fingertips.
So a GPS is efficient. It is the best way to get you from point A to point B. But beyond that, a GPS is kind of clunky when you want to do things like understand where you are in relation to landmarks when you might detour to take the scenic route. I think poring over maps while you are planning a trip, there's something really timeless and sort of romantic about it. I also think it's telling how many people still pack a paper map just in case. I think that's something that gives people security, even if they never look at it. Tom Harrison, he's the California backcountry cartographer that I interviewed. He said that a map is a talisman. It protects you.
And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.